Welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Pros Podcast. First four pack of the season for our big mid-season fantasy award special. Very excited. We'll go around the table. We'll get into the big story. We'll get into our awards. And we're just going to have a great time. So let's start with the intros. Mr. Anthony, your first time on the show in 2024. How you been?
Never mind first time in 2024. First time in the new casa.
That's correct. Yes, I've been a busy man. I was up there in Toronto for a couple weeks. That was a good time. I got to see my beautiful little niece come into the world. So congrats again, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah, then came back down here and had a move ongoing. So I moved to a different spot in Florida, not 20 minutes away from my old spot. So it's been hectic. It's been very hectic, but all good things.
Great. Mm-hmm. Joe from the bridge. Let me guess.
Boys.
Daughter was up all night. I'm exhausted today.
No. If you think the newborn stage is interesting, wait till you get to the terrible twos, the toddler stage. When everything is a crying fit and anything else in the world, it's a disaster. Just to give you an example, Thursday night.
All right.
She goes to bed usually around 9 o'clock-ish, give or take half an hour up or down, depending on how tired and wired she is. 8:45 to about 10:15, 10:30. Not that she's up, constantly crying. And it's not a sad cry. It's an angry cry.
What does she want? To not go to bed.
That's the thing. There's no word spoken. The terrible twos are a great stage, everybody.
Yeah. Oh wow.
I wonder if the fans out there are just done hearing about Joe's parenting problems.
It's life.
Joe, you got another one.
Trust me, it's only gonna get worse. Yeah, with a second.
It's gonna double.
I feel like every week this guy's just gonna be a disheveled mess when he shows up when there's two kids running around.
Yep, that's for sure. It's going to be a hell of a lot busier.
All right, Lopo, it's your turn to bring this up. Bring the mood up.
I wish I could. You know what? It's more the same for me as last week. I told you last week we're close to booking our wedding. Today's the day. So that's pretty much it. Like, in terms of what's going on with me, not much. Changing careers, like I told you last week.
That's a happy thing. You should be ecstatic. I am. Big smile on the face. It's a little stressful, I know.
It is stressful. And I think we've been looking forward to the finish line here. It's been about 16 holes, so I think we're there now.
Wow. You did your homework.
Oh, shit.
Mike, 16.
Whoa, that's a ton.
16 holes, 1-6.
Oh, yeah, are you guys going to see them? Are you guys going to see them?
We already saw them all.
All 16?
All 16.
Are you working?
Dude, weekends. We had to be sensitive to schedule. So 6 o'clock, 3 days a week, we were going to the halls right after work. Weekends, 3 on a Saturday, sometimes 3 on the next day on the Sunday. We did this all in a span of 2 months.
Dude. I think I did one. I think yeah, I did I two know. Or three. Two or three halls, and that was it.
So you've had no weekends.
Yeah, it's been a little bit busy, but we think we know the one, and I think if I'll probably make the announcement next week. You guys both know where it is. All three of you know where it is. You should anyway, but yeah.
It's a secret. Announce it on the pod. What's wrong with you?
It's because it's not official. I can't make the announcement on the pod. It's gotta come. She's got to post it on her Instagram. I don't know how
this
works.
The front runner. Who does that? No one posts the hall on their Instagram.
I'll give you the top three.
This is LeBron going to Miami.
I'll give you the top three. So number one is where Mike got married at Parkview. That doesn't mean it's number one on my list.
Toronto halls. No one knows.
Yeah, people are really going to care about these three.
They're going to show up on the day.
We're doing it here.
Don't say the wedding date because they're all going to show up.
Yeah, you know what? So it's Venetian and a place called Venue. Those are the three spots that we're looking at.
It's cute, man. Way to go.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Today's decision day, but I mean... That's not. It's exciting, but not as exciting it's as D-Day. What's coming.
Before we get to Mike,
the podcast today is going to be more exciting.
Before
than,
we get to Mike,
all of our lives.
We need Brian back on this on this podcast ASAP because the stories that are going to come out homes. Of Portugal when he gets back on his first show is going to be outrageous.
Look, I can attest. I can attest to this a little bit. He had himself a time out there.
So,
is he coming back with the gift? The gift that keeps on giving?
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? He could be, but that's regardless of where he is. He could be coming back with a gift that keeps on giving.
I was talking about herpes, the gifts that keep on giving.
Yeah, so was Anth.
Yeah. What'd you think? An engagement ring? Like, what did you think I was talking about?
Anth, would Brian get upset at you if you told everybody what you told us in the pre-show about his 48-hour stretch?
No.
Let him share.
I don't know who he's got listening, so that's his info to divulge. I'm not going to out my boy.
All right.
How's it going, Mikey, on your end?
Yeah, things are good. You know, newborn, it's tiring. I'm in the process of moving as well, so there's a lot. But starting to get into a routine, getting my hockey fix, so I'm happy. Things are good.
Actually, I did something yesterday I haven't done in a while. I played golf yesterday for the first time in a while. That was fun but horrible because it's the first time in a while. It feels like I didn't play forever.
What'd you shoot?
I don't even know, honestly. It was
the classic.
No,
I didn't keep track.
Yeah.
I am against that. We were playing with this couple in their 80s. It was very slow. And anyway, so whatever. Then I came back. Like, I had to go to a bunch of stores for the house and shit like that. But then, you know what? I was unwinding end of the night. And I said, you know what? I'm ordering UFC tonight. And I did
that.
Nice. And I just sat and watched the whole card. And it was friggin' decent. There wasn't any great fights, but it was still just enjoyable. You know, every guy that I was rooting for lost. I wanted to see Strickland win because that guy's an absolute G, but didn't happen.
That guy kills me.
That guy's amazing.
I see you deleted your round off 18 birdies, so definitely. Oh, I did.
There was a 3-digit day. It's okay. It'll happen. It happens to everybody.
This is my thing, though. I understand, like, with your handicap, okay, if you don't play for, like, a year and then you go back and you just butcher the course up, like, I understand, like, I can go both ways on this. It's like, I understand, like, the handicap is a measure of your current skill. So, yeah, you should just probably mark that score. But then at the same time, it's like, I'm way better than that.
That's what handicap would remove it.
Yeah,
anyway,
but you can argue the opposite way. You could say when you're in a groove because you're playing so often, that's not really your thing. You're just playing often.
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. Playing golf is not like riding a bike. Like, you cannot, like, if you're not playing, you're getting worse at that game.
Well, that's why when I looked here, I saw that Brian played in Urias Golf e Residence in Portugal.
You didn't say it right. It's Urias the Residence. Come on, Mike.
Bang on.
Okay.
But, yeah, you know, I think it's just, like, I've been working out, too, with changing the body. So
I was going to say, your biceps look big.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working out.
Okay, stop pumping.
Give us a little flex on camera. Give us a little flex on camera.
Puppy timing each other.
You're stroking this guy off, and we're gonna turn you against each other.
Yeah, he's gonna. Yeah, because I know I'm trying to soften him up. Yeah, like, I gotta wear makeup at the end of the fucking season already.
Damn right you do. You know your bets are trash. By the way, I heard last week on last week's pod, you and Mike made the bet about Habs and Ottawa.
Yeah,
first of all, I understand the Habs are well ahead, but that's still a horrible bet. And I think you're counting your eggs, your chickens before they hatch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think Ottawa's going to come back and take that bet.
I do not think so. I think that the Habs, and keep in mind, that's without Kirby Doc. They're arguably number one or two center. Like, you know, you guys sleep on the Habs. I told you this yesterday. You guys sleep on the Habs. In 2 years, they'll be competing. They're almost there.
You're such a Habs fan. You're such a, and that's, it's no better than Leaf. It's no better than Joe as a Leafs fan. Hold on. No, I'm saying you're such like a typical Habs fan. Like you remind, that reminds me of like Ryan Poehling's hat trick. Or what was it? Was it
Hattie? Do you remember that?
Better than Matthews. This guy's better than Matthews.
I never said
And then every time you hear a Habs fan talk, it's like, oh, Kirby Doc, we got Nick Suzuki, who's the next coming of Gretzky in the NHL. And Patrice everything Bergeron. Is just so over the top.
No, like, okay.
These guys are all middlers. That's all they are.
Hang on. You guys can say whatever you want about Habs fans, but you want to talk about who the most hated fans in the league are, and I know all of you know this answer.
Yeah.
All of you know this answer. Your franchise that you support has the most hated fan base in the league.
We're the most hated. Okay, but we're
because
the
most hated fan base in the league.
Because
they all
want to
be us.
What, do you guys ever want to come since 67?
Hold on.
Who the fuck wants to be the Leafs? Who the fuck wants to be the Leafs?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You're right, it doesn't matter. And that's why they're going to keep
rent
on losing
because
it doesn't matter.
Rent free right here.
Do you
know how many times I hear about the high stick in the 93 playoffs that Gretzky did on Gilmore? Shut up. You guys lost and you guys got spanked every year. You guys barely made the playoffs in the 2000s. You guys are starting to get a little bit of success. The Leafs are not a model organization. They have so many holes. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it's another fucking 50 years before they win another cup.
If that's another 50 years for the Leafs, I can imagine the half.
Are you done, Mayor?
We got a little bit of spice to get into today. So, I mean, we can pick it up right now and talk about the trade that used to be.
Hold on.
Right. Let Mike run this shit.
Bashes the Leafs and then says, let's change the subject?
you asked me if I'm done. I'm ready to go into to what
today's
episode
is about. Are
you done
so someone else can talk is what I meant.
Apologies. Go ahead.
It's going to be a four-hour show.
I know.
Let's go, boys.
I don't even know what I'm
saying. We're already 12 in.
Yeah, this is... All right, let's...
Well, I was going to say, hold on. Let me just say this quickly. I was going to say that the Leafs are the most hated fan base. It's because they're the largest fan base. We're the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL. Okay, and there's a lot of similarities between those two organizations, unfortunately. They just can't get it done. But that's the reason. It's because we are the largest. Leaf fans are everywhere. And people hate that shit.
Toronto's the biggest city in Canada. So what do you expect? You have the largest metropolitan city in a country. They have the largest fan base. That's a law of like the market that they're in. It has no reflect of the actual team itself. The team's not like, guys, you guys haven't had success in fucking 50 years.
Okay, Ant's point still...
It has nothing to do with that.
Okay, the size of the market is literally just where they're fucking located. Toronto. That's all it is because...
What do you mean? Leaf fans are everywhere? Did you hear the Go Leafs Go chant in Calgary?
Yeah, they go to fucking... Yeah, because you guys are fucking... It still makes me sick. Largest metropolitan team. Nothing about the Leafs is good.
Dude,
everything
I go to games,
about them, their fans.
I go to
everything.
Games down here in Florida, and half the building is Toronto.
It's same thing when they play when
yeah,
Montreal.
But what does this
Florida.
Have to
you're
do
not
with Toronto
special.
Being?
You're not special. But that's Canadian teams in general. You're not special when they go to Montreal and it's Buffalo. You see Montreal in that building. The Leafs are not special. Get it through your heads.
You're not special.
No, he is special. He is special. He's quite the opposite. He's very special.
Special needs.
Easy. Let's not get canceled.
Oh, somebody who did need assistance is Val Nichushkin. Let's get into the show. Big story of the week. Val Nichushkin, having a 42-point in 41 game season, enters the NHL's assistance program for what we believe to be alcohol-related. Is that out, or is that just...
It's substance abuse, whether it's alcohol or drugs or something.
Substance abuse. Substance abuse. What I was looking for. When it comes to something like this, and we did get a question, I don't remember if it was Instagram or Twitter or who it was from, but I guess they don't have any IR spots remaining, and they said, do I hold on to Val Nichushkin? What the hell do you do? Because there is no way of knowing how long this is going to take.
I think you got to drop him. Like, you don't know. You could be dealing with a Drouin situation where he misses the whole year. Like, you don't know what it's going to be. And like, you might be holding 0 points for the rest of the year.
I'm trying to find a timetable, but there's just no way of knowing these things, right?
There's two different ways of looking at this. It's either he's going in strictly for himself, as in voluntarily he actually has a problem, or maybe it's something that he's being forced to do, kind of thing. As not like literally forced, but like something he has to do kind of just for the general image of everything kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but
like
nobody would have known.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It came out
last year in the playoffs that he was gone for that reason. Like stuff happens to come out eventually, whether another incident happened or whether it's the same incident, whether it's just like, okay, he was gone for the playoffs, so why wasn't this handled in the off season? Why wasn't he out for the start of the year? Why was he back? Something must have reoccurred here.
Does he have?
That's the way I'm looking
at it. NA or something on Yahoo?
I believe it's IR,
which is strange because it should be NA.
It's IR, yeah.
Because it's not an injury. It should be NA. It's like a contract negotiation. It's like it should be NA.
You know, it's one thing if this happens to a fourth liner, but when it's a guy who's putting up a point per game, you just assume it's pretty bad, whatever's going on, you know? Like,
yeah, and I'm not saying
they can't cover up this any longer, sort of.
Yeah, and I want to put it out there. I'm not saying he was like absolutely do this, go into this program or else. It's just more of like, yeah, he obviously wants the help. He's going in. But he obviously needed the help earlier. So what was the gap for? Why now rather than prior? So that's the scenario that you run into.
I mean, we can end it there. There's not much more to talk about on this. I think with him gone, Drouin is absolutely fantasy relevant again. McKinnon loves the guy, which helps him. He's playing well. So
yeah, Colorado scored 7 on Saturday, and he got 1 point. So I don't know. It's very hot or cold on Drouin.
No, like man, Drouin's great. The guy's playing like over 20 minutes a night. Get off!
Yeah, he's
crapping on him.
I don't like him.
No, I have him on one. I have him on one of my other pools. I'm thinking about dropping him.
No way, Joe! Don't do it. Not when he's playing that much. Why?
Are the rosters like 6 guys?
No, the rosters are 18. But it's just it's a stud lineup that I got going.
Oh my god, you're a goofwad.
Okay. Well,
fantasy wise with Nichushkin, it's a simple call. You're stashing him and you're waiting.
Yeah.
If you if you don't have an IR spot, it's just you're giving up all those points. Like you might not come back this year.
Just drop him. You can't deal with this uncertainty.
Yeah, but my thing is you also got to look at who else you have on your IR. If you're expecting them back sooner rather than later. If you can handle it for 2 weeks, because don't forget, you're not just stashing him and not knowing. Yeah, you might have to eat the hole in your lineup, but in 2 weeks, if you can handle it 2 weeks, you might get someone back from injury. And then you can just throw him on the IR and keep him till whenever, and it won't affect you. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I feel like we've been teasing it for 2 weeks. We have to get in. We have to bring an issue in our pool onto the pod. But I'm telling you guys right now, we are on my end, we're about at 20-minute mark. At 30 minutes, this ends. And I don't care. Me and Joe will even declare a winner.
Here, look, there's no debate here.
The fans are going to declare a winner. We're going to put a poll up on Twitter, and that is going to determine who wins.
But this is getting capped.
Yes.
So at 10 minutes.
Who goes first? Me or Ant?
First of all, we got to set this up.
Yes.
Let me set it up.
And then you guys can have your say, and then that's it.
Yes. Yeah, speaking of Nichushkin, by the way, I saved the mayor from having Nichushkin. So you're welcome.
Don't go there.
Okay.
I will set this up. So our pool, 12 years now, I think it might even more, keeper league, it's recurring. It's so long that Lopo's actually been in it, quit the league, and now he's back. But that's neither here nor there. The pool is due for a reset. Not this coming season, the year after.
2025, the October of 2025, where literally everyone's going back in the draft, everyone's picking fresh.
Yeah, no. And also, but just whatever. Throw in quickly that the reason for the guys listening, like Gratz, Brian's brother, this reset is happening because they got tired of losing to us every year. So they said, "No, you guys have all the good keepers. Let's put them all back in." And that's what we're doing basically. So thank you, Gratz, because this has been such a headache.
Yes, because the argument is, oh, McDavid always gets traded for Matthews or McKinnon or Dreisaitl, and so
there's only a swap of five players or four players each way.
Yes, which, by the way, Pete did say, never mind reset. Do the reset, but moving forward, no more reset. No guy can own the same player more than once. That was his solution to never having to reset again. We can take that off air, but think about it.
I don't know. We'll see. So, I got to think about that.
Yeah.
So, now, knowing that this reset is coming, we have loosely said that the rules for the draft will have to change in terms of the bottom feeders getting first picks or whatever, or the
selection
process.
Time out.
What?
So that was not shared to myself.
Yes.
Okay, fine. We're gonna get into it. A select few, we're discussing how the draft should be handled. It was put out there very vaguely that it was going to change. No specifics were divulged.
Not with me.
No, period.
Just clearing that out there. Done. But it wasn't discussed with me, which is a key component.
And it wasn't put out to the league. Select few.
And that's absolutely fine, Mayor, because as people will come to know, this was understood after. Anyways, so now that is the case with our pool. Now, Anth, who's having an unlike himself down year, I'm sure there's a better word for unlike himself.
Shit year.
It's an anomaly what Ant's going through. He's climbing out of it.
It's uncharacteristic is the word.
Very, but, yes.
And I'm going to put it in just, since you mentioned it, I think Ant's going to make the playoffs and I'm going to miss it. So just, I'm putting it out there right now.
Okay. And while we're talking about uncharacteristic, Lopo's having an uncharacteristically good season. But anyway, there was a trade made where it was basically Lopo was buying and Anth was selling. And you guys can get into the details of the actual trade.
Quickly. But
what was it? A first, third, and fifth? Second, fourth, and sixth?
First, third, and sixth.
Okay. And there was obviously players involved in that he was buying.
McTavish, Trouba, and Mayor?
It was another player. McTavish, Trouba, and
Ehlers.
Yeah, Nick Ehlers.
Okay, so he bought McTavish, Trouba, and Ehlers for a
first, a third, and
first,
a sixth.
Third, sixth.
First, a third, and a sixth. Now, deal goes through.
It didn't go through. It was...
Sorry. Deal gets made. Accepted.
At the 11th hour. Can I take it from here?
Wait. Deal gets made. Fine. Go ahead, Ed. Go.
No, you could...
Deal gets made, and Lopo basically says, this is great because I want a tank next year. I don't care about being good. I want a tank, so I have a good pick in this super draft that has everybody in it, including McDavid. And now... we have an issue because, one, he admitted to tanking, and two, he was not aware of the discussion that happened that would basically say the draft is going to change. The process is going to change. We are not going to reward people for tanking.
The bottom feeders won't be more favored for better picks, that sort of thing.
Yes. Now, because he was not aware... we gave him the option to renege on the trade, and the trade was voided.
Yeah, we didn't. You did. You guys, okay. You and Joe went rogue. And I have a bone to pick with you guys here, too. So basically, guys, this is at the 11th hour, okay? I was working in Miami, so I didn't even get to be a part of this. I just I'm on my phone like 2 a.m., and I see, holy shit, they canceled my deal, right? Now... 12 years I've been the commissioner of this pool, okay? I do not do anything like shady. Like, I'm always like by the book. We got to do things properly. If a rule is getting changed, it gets changed a year ahead of time. It doesn't, so that nothing is affected, no decisions are affected, right? And I see that this trade's been vetoed. I don't, and I can't figure out why, and it's because
Lopo said... You know why.
No. At the time, I'm just saying, like, I saw why, but it was a bullshit reason, because nothing, there was no official rule saying that the draft of the following season for the reset was changing.
Okay, we all know, don't pretend, that the five people in the group chat have a strong direction, a way of the flowing the direction the league goes. Yourself, Joe, Mike... Typically, influence. Is that a fair assessment?
Influence, yeah.
Yes, influence. You guys were talking about changing the rules after the trade was made. I was unaware
of this. Not me. No, it was these guys.
No. You also chimed in on it, too.
No. I was trolling you for a while. I was trolling you for a while.
Originally. But Anth.
No. But you were right. The draft structure should not change. It's because we did not discuss this and there was no official rule change.
I was okay keeping it the same. I was okay going through with the trade if the draft structure remained as is. We all knew it was going to change. That's why the trade was vetoed.
We've talked about it changing.
We know it's going to change. All... We talked about it with the league too. And then it came up to the league and it's changing. Just
it needs
how we
to
discussed.
Change.
Exactly.
It needs to change because people like you admit to tanking. No. That's why we need to change
it. But what's the difference? Hang on. What's the difference? You're going to say you're going into the season. It doesn't matter. At any point, if you're trading your best, like a non-keeper player for a first or a second, whatever you get for him, you're implying that you're tanking. It's like you don't say it, but you're doing it through your actions.
Okay, Let me make this clear for everyone. So basically, Joe and Mike said, yeah, the draft structure's changing, so you tanking next year isn't going to help you in any way get the top guys. Lopo freaked out. He said, I didn't know that. Otherwise, I wouldn't want to trade these picks because I don't want to be bad next year. So he says, cancel the deal. This is bullshit. Cancel the deal. Mike and Joe, go ahead.
Because my argument was that it was I can't justify the first. The first is less valuable in this case. It's more about yes, exactly.
Whatever. That's whatever your reasoning. That's fine. I get if I didn't think that the draft structure should change because it hadn't changed. But whatever. Everyone, these guys went and said, okay, it has to change. So Lopo wants this deal canceled. Let's cancel the deal. Fine. I was pissed off. I don't think it's fair, but it is what it is. Now, to speed things up here so this doesn't drag on.
Fast forward 2
Lopo
weeks.
Goes in. I said to Lopo at the time, I'm like, dude, you trade your top picks every single year, and now you're in first, and you're telling me that you don't want to trade these picks this year so you can win? That's such
not
bullshit.
Not McTavish for
so
first.
What does he
not
do?
McTavish
Let me
first.
Finish. Let me. What does he do? He goes ahead after the deal's vetoed a week or two later, and he trades his first, his second, and third for some high picks, for some great players. Whatever.
Better, hang on. All
90%. No. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit.
Mike, let me finish.
Between me and Ant, you said you'll stay out of it. So leave, stay out of it and don't put
it. It's your opinion of players. This doesn't factor into this.
Let me finish. Because you're not understanding. Okay, go finish. Because I do want to get my point across.
You just said the deal that our over each other. The reason that our deal was vetoed was because you didn't want to trade your high picks, which you do every single
year,
regardless of whether
I
you're
that's
intent.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
You just said you'd let me finish, and then you.
But you're
say
your piece. Saying things I didn't say.
You just that said you'd let me finish. Then you say your piece.
No, okay, go.
I am saying, you know, this is not words coming out of your mouth. I am saying that every single year you trade all of your high picks, regardless of whether you're in 12th so you can make the playoffs, or you're in 9th so you could make the top division, you're in 6th, you're in 2nd, whatever it is. This year you're in 1st, and you veto a deal that you give up your high picks because of the following, not even next year's draft, the following season's draft, which, whatever, your reasoning is your reasoning. But then you go ahead a week or two later, and you trade your first, your second, and your third for different players. And then you say, oh, yeah, because I want these guys. Regardless, our deal was vetoed. Listen, our deal was vetoed because you didn't want to trade your high picks. And then you go ahead and deal your high picks. I don't care who you got back. Our deal should not have been vetoed, and I was right the whole time.
Can I talk now?
Go ahead.
Okay. Now that I'm finished, you can talk.
Okay. So
wait, hold on 1 sec. No, I think we just set this up for the viewers a little better because it was buried there. So they had their trade. Anth said it again, but just to reiterate, Lopo 2 weeks later went ahead and contacted a different owner and made a deal where he was selling. Three more high picks.
Knowing that the rules were changing.
His first, his second, and his third. And And now Lopo's going to tell you that, oh, I traded them for better players. Stop. Dude, telling one of those guys was Nichushkin. One of those guys was Nichushkin, who's not playing.
I didn't tell you what you were going to say on your behalf. I didn't say what you were going to say on your behalf.
Your turn.
I'm going to say,
I'm going to interrupt the shit out of you, though, because you interrupted the shit out of me.
I shut up after. I shut up after.
Yeah, okay.
I let you finish your point.
Go ahead.
So, Ant, what you said is not entirely true. That's not what I said. I vetoed the trade. Let me finish. I cannot justify giving a first. I know that first round draft pick is not as valuable. In the point when we made that trade, my head, this is not a valuable draft pick because the mega draft is going to be the more important one. This is a 1 year throw-in season. We're doing it just for a season leading up to the mega draft. That first round draft pick is not as important. So my ask for the first round draft pick wasn't that big. I asked you for Mason McTavish for a first. In no world, in a standard year, is Mason McTavish worth a first round pick.
Why is McTavish the first?
Let me finish.
But why is McTavish the first?
Let me finish.
You're getting three guys.
No, Joe didn't even think he was the first round pick in the fucking trade. So that furthers to my point that he's not actually a first.
Let
me finish, man.
No, because now it's anecdotal. Now it's anecdotal. It's all
No. You keep on cutting me off. Stop doing that because now I shut up after you told me to do it and I let you speak. So
let
me finish.
Can I say something, Mayor?
I'm not done.
Why isn't Trouba the first?
Yeah.
We discussed.
Or Ehlers.
Trouba was discussed as our mutual third. Ehlers was discussed as our mutual sixth.
Then you guys are both stupid.
But yeah. Okay, he's wrong, Mike. But he's wrong.
No,
it's a package of three picks for three guys.
You want me to pull it up, man? I have it in writing.
I don't care that whatever the reason was. I'm trying to get you to agree to a trade. It's
a different trade altogether. You don't own my first round pick after the deal was canceled because of a rule that was changed. I still have entitlement to my first round pick and what I want to do with my pick. You don't own it. If I want to trade my first round pick for whoever, you don't own it because I don't get the benefit of the players from you in that first round pick. Okay. You have no point here, man.
You're going to be so muffled. I wish you had a good mic through this whole
thing. It's a great mic. I paid like $90.
No, it might be just on our end. It might not be through the thing. But hold on, quickly, before you continue, Mayor, I just want to say...
Your pool winnings will maybe pay for that mic.
I think... I just don't get... I know you guys were discussing certain players for certain picks, but it's the package. But I understand your point. But... I don't personally, as an outside viewer, and I think our fans are going to say the same thing. Yes, McTavish wasn't worth it the first. I think McTavish is the worst.
But
of
I
the
asked
three.
For less because of it. But I asked for less because the draft was less important. I didn't ask for Ant's best players. I took McTavish for the first, knowing that I'm not going to get the full value because it's a throw-in year.
Yes,
and
but
that's
I don't
why
think
I
reneged
the trade
the first.
As soon as he told me that the
it's
draft
the
format
other two
is
that are more valuable. But regardless,
okay, but wait, Joe, let me speak to Joe for a sec. This is recency bias on McTavish. He got injured right after this deal was canceled. McTavish was playing extremely well at the time.
I took him injured. I took him injured. He was day to day.
Whatever.
Unclear,
he just got injured.
Yes, but he's not your best player in that deal.
No, fuck.
Okay, the way... Okay,
that's all I'm saying.
We're getting into the guys too much. It's a very simple argument. It's
very
simple.
You have to get into the guys as to why I accepted the deal to give you a first in the first place.
Okay.
Because the year was a throw-in year. That's why you got...
Lopo's argument was that the value of the picks changed because of the rule change.
Correct.
I think... And we pulled the league... The fact that you still went ahead and traded your picks.
I got more, but I got fair return for what a first, a second, and third.
That is your opinion. I thought my deal was better. I thought my deal was better. It's your opinion.
And in my trade and your trade, I had a 68%, a 52%, and an 86%. In the trade that I made, the lowest percentage ownership was 87% of the player that I was receiving back. That was higher than the highest player.
Okay,
so
well,
that tells me.
Tell everyone who you got. You got Nichushkin?
On the condition.
Relax. You got Nichushkin?
Aiden Hill.
Okay, this is fantastic. It's getting better. Way to go.
Aiden Hill.
Go on.
Yeah, okay, I have one goalie, but I have Thatcher Demko, and I was running Samsonov at the time. So it was when I at the time when I made the trade, it made sense.
Nichushkin is injured. Aiden Hill is injured. We should have went.
Okay, but either way,
who was the third?
Who was it? I got a player back. He was good. He was 87% plus owned, so it was a good player. Oh, I got Heiskanen.
Also injured.
Also overrated.
This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. My deal was so much better. Like,
it turned out to be lucky.
But you're telling me that because it's all based on the players. I think you are extremely short-sighted when it comes to this whole thing, and you're missing the entire point.
I think you're missing the entire point. I've already established with you the reason why I chained my ass.
36 minutes we're at now.
Let's change subject. We already talked about
it. Let me wrap this up, okay?
You're not getting the last word.
That's fine. Look. the league agreed to veto your trade. And then as the fair commissioner that I am, we took this to WhatsApp, the entire group. We pulled
the league. You didn't. You kicked me out of the group and you didn't let me say what I have to say. Fair commissioner that I am, you literally Trudeau'd me, bro. You owned your
bank account.
You fucking liar. You were not fair in any fucking sense. You didn't even let me say my own point.
No, you blocked me
and deleted me from the group.
Because as the people can probably tell, you're a nut.
Stop fucking trying to take the hero. You were being a prick that night.
You wanted me not to say
what I wanted to say. You kicked me out of the WhatsApp group, so I didn't get my point across. You can't do that on this call.
I kicked you out of the... I seized your bank account because... because you do not allow the people to assess the situation, read one text that Mike sent, that a third party sent, you just start message.
Because like, it's not you true can't, what he
you
said.
You gotta shut up and let the people vote.
But you guys give half the message. If you guys spun it like, oh, he got a bigger return now, so now that's what he wants. No, I'm asking for a different ask because the draft rules have changed.
Okay, here's my question to you now. Here's my question to you. If you're, let's take this to a court situation, all right? You got the plaintiff and the, what's the other one?
Defendant.
Defendant, okay? You're the defendant here, okay? You had your closing argument.
You're the defendant here. I'm the plaintiff, bro. You're the defendant.
You had your closing argument.
On who the defendant and who the
you had your closing argument. I had my closing argument, all right? Now it's time for the jury to decide. If you don't shut your mouth and you keep going with your closing argument, what does the judge do?
Well, first of all, there was a lawyer that would object, hopefully, but we don't have a lawyer in this case to
object.
The
point is, you don't get to keep talking. You don't get to keep talking. So I kicked your ass. I seized your bank account.
You didn't even let me say what I had to say, dude.
You said your point.
You wanted the trade to go your way, so you didn't want me to get my point across, and it got fucking went through, and then it was too late at that point.
Anyway,
I'm not fucking stupid.
Anyway, okay, enough. The point is, the jury comes back and says Ant's deal should stand. And you know what I did? I didn't go and push our deal through because I felt too bad.
Because it's wrong, and you know it too.
What are you talking about? The majority decided that my deal with you should go through.
You didn't even let me hang on. First of all, you took the vote before I even got my fucking point across, and you said, "Oh, if they really want to change it, they'll change it." Is what you told me, bro. Shut up. You're trying to fucking steer this your way. You're completely, completely wrong about this, and you're gaslighting people right now because you're lying.
I'm really Trudeau.
Yeah. I'm not angry,
by the way. Just so everyone clears, I saw Ant that night when we had the argument and we golfed. So there's no beef here. It's just I'm very passionate about keeping putting it forward.
There's no personal beef. There's pool beef. But go on.
So where things stand right now is that trade he made with the other owner, Brian's brother, was vetoed. That no trade has gone through.
Correct.
But it's kind of known that, like, if Lopo wants to trade those picks, the trade with Anth has to happen.
Which is bullshit because we've all established based off the original rules that the rules changed after that trade was made, so it should not go through on any case.
That's fine. You can have the last word. Let's close the door on this because it's a mid-season fantasy award.
I'm excited.
Which wasn't even teased at the top of the show.
I don't think our listeners got any clarity on that debate.
No, they got clarity.
I think it's clear.
I want to hear anyone to chime in here. And you don't, not the guys in the pool that listen because they already voted my way. Like, I'm talking about like listeners.
And you're the commissioner. Everybody strokes your fucking sazic, and nobody wants to fucking go against. Because
I'm a good commissioner. I'm a great commissioner.
You Trudeau'd me, bro.
To be fair, why would we be stroking his? Because we all don't want to. We all want him to like.
I'm
not
in
compete.
First. You want me to fucking. You want me to fail. You guys are all want the shot at the top. Yeah, fucking.
I'm not
right
worried
now.
About you going forward. You're having an anomaly of a season.
You get
anomaly.
You get
your favorite word, Joe.
You get better with the deal. So why? What? Your point doesn't make any sense.
But I wanted to get better with the deal that, okay, I'm very...
Oh, right. you would have been so better with three extra guys on your IR, let me tell you.
Honestly, I am very fortunate that trade didn't go through with Grads, but you guys decided that, not me.
You're a cock. Okay. Let's go.
Do we bother with the fantasy players of the night?
No.
The fantasy players of the night.
Unless there's... an oddball.
Last week, I told you guys, Juraj Slafkovský, Joshua Waugh, both guys had good weeks. Remember those names.
That's too bad. There was some good ones.
Just name them so they don't miss their shine.
Okay. So we had Dylan Larkin. He's got 40 points in 39 games. Only player on Detroit over a point per game. We got Swayman, 31 save shutout. Great record. I'm waiting for this guy to be a starter. It's a shame.
Anyways.
It's a shame.
We'll talk about something, but Boston.
Darcy Kemper, 11-10-2. Worst number since becoming a starter. He had a shutout that night, but Charlie Lindgren has thoroughly outplayed him. Cole Caulfield, 16 goals, 19 assists, 35 points in 46 games. He's got goals in 5 straight. Austin Matthews. He had a hat trick and an assist, 4-3 win against Calgary, 37 goals on the season. Unbelievable year. Kirill Kaprizov, he had 2 goals, 1 assist. He's got 39 points in 38 games. He actually has 15 points in his last 10, despite missing 7 kind of in between there. And the team went 1-6, so they need him, obviously. And then finally, Nathan MacKinnon, he had a 4-point game to take the scoring lead with 77 points in 47 games, 134 point pace.
Not many surprises there, right? Not there. We know what those guys are. So
yeah,
if there's a week to skip it or not go into detail on it, it would be a good week not much to debate with these players.
Okay, other thing that happened this week, Spencer Martin was claimed off waivers from Carolina. Anything there? Fantasy relevancy?
No. Why did you say that?
Why did you even bring it up?
What?
Because he might play. He might play.
They waived Ranta. Kochetkov's hurt. Anderson's got no... Like, what are we talking about?
You're right.
It's just Kochetkov's day-to-day, isn't he still?
He's skating, but he's got concussion issues.
Yeah, that's...
Worth a flyer, sure.
Yeah, mid-season fantasy awards. Brian was kind enough to send in his picks as well, so we will have 5. We will try to keep this tight.
Yes.
Year after year, we have the same categories. I don't think we introduced a new one, so if you're new to this, we... have our own categories like biggest fantasy surprise, disappointment, overrated, underrated. We can revisit the ones we made earlier in the year. And then we'll go Calder, Norris, all the NHL awards, and take it from there. Now, we're going to go around the table with our first category, biggest fantasy surprise. And we will start with you, Joe.
I'm going to California.
Wait, before you say it, should I say your preseason biggest fantasy surprise? Because it was John Klingberg.
Yeah. Well, that was that didn't see, work. And that's the difference between this, the midseason, and the preseason. The preseason one is 30 plus. I don't believe the midseason one is 30 plus.
Oh, you're right. We should probably fix that. But all right.
There's the difference. But what if?
I was going to say, on the last episode, last week, you said something I want to slap you so hard.
Oh, okay? God. What did I say? I don't even remember.
You teased bringing up your preseason picks, and you were looking at them, and you said something like, one of them was really bad, but that one doesn't count because it was an honorable mention. Okay. Which is such bullshit because you say these honorable mentions so that if they work out, yeah, you get to stroke yourself. And then when it doesn't work out, you say, oh, it doesn't count. It's an honorable mention. Screw you. You can't do that shit anymore.
We gave you shit about that on the preseason show, too.
You did. And you have
a biggest fantasy surprise.
I'm going Frankie for Toronto. you know what? For a role, like, he's not a name. Like, but he was only drafted 32% out of the gate, like by 32% people in Yahoo drafts. And he was drafted around the 172 mark, 171. So, and he right now is ranked 17th.
Holy crap.
Okay. So, it's that situation where he's not a name, he's not this, and whoever, he probably got picked up off the waiver wire by a majority of you guys. Yeah. He's been a guy that's worked out for everyone, and he's my fantasy surprise.
Yeah, before anyone else goes, I also had Vetrano. Like, to be ranked 17th in our pool right now is insane. He's 84% owned, and he's ranked so high because he does it all. Like, he's a center winger, first off, which that dual eligibility is nice. 21 goals. He's got 3 shorthanded points, 4 game winners, 147 shots, which is a lot.
His shots are ridiculous. Yeah.
He has 70 hits and 44 blocks. So across the board, this guy's getting it done. So that's huge value if you drafted him down in if you drafted him at all, actually.
Yeah. Brian has Philip Forsberg, which is actually pretty good because he's surprised he's played every game. It's all my. And he's on pace to match and surpass some of his career totals. So that's Brian. Lopo, who do you got?
So I like the Frankie Vetrano pick. He was on my list, but he wasn't the winner. So it's one guy. He's leading his team in points. He's actually ahead of fantasy rankings. He's higher ranked than Connor McDavid, actually. One and only Blake Coleman from Calgary. He's been playing lights out, leading point getter on his team. His pre-rank was 231. He's currently ranked, you guys are looking at Frank Vetrano at 16. He's ranked 15th right now. So Blake Coleman really never kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. Yeah, he's my pick for biggest fantasy surprise this year.
Yeah, I'm going to echo that. Blake Coleman, 39 points in 46 games, undrafted as well, Lopo. Good friend of the show, Spencer, actually, I don't know if it's this past week, he's like, you know, my fantasy team is sad when I just rely on Blake Coleman. Like, he's my best player. Every night, Blake Coleman's going to get it done for me. So, Coleman's a good one. Next, biggest fantasy disappointment.
I have a feeling we're going to have some overlap on this one.
Yeah, this is similarly to a bust, right, from our preseason?
Yes. Yeah. Well, bust was more predictable. I think disappointment's more of us like shock that because you thought they were going to do really well. But go ahead.
I'm going on Broadway. In the net.
Okay.
Igor Shesterkin. Igor. Yeah.
My guy.
He is like, okay, for a goalie that's on, I think the Rangers are top 3 in the league when it comes to points. Regardless, on an elite team in the league, they were once at the top of the league. For a goalie,
the Rangers are 8th, Joe, but yeah, go on.
Oh, wow, they dropped down. Okay, so that...
Yeah, they've lost a few recently. They've lost a few recently.
Speaks a lot to it.
Because of him.
Because of him. His pre-rank was 35. He is now 207. Okay, he's the 35th ranked goalie in the draft. He was 100% drafted, and his average pick was 15th. For a goalie that could win or lose you weeks, he's been the disappointment because he should be way higher. He should be near the top of that list.
Yeah, just a correction, Joe. Was he the top ranked goalie?
Number
one.
Heading into the season?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me quickly take a gander at that.
I think he said something about 35, but that's probably all players or something.
That's all players, yes. He was pre-ranked at the beginning of the year 35th among all players, skaters, goalies, and everything. Yeah. Whereas now he's the 35th ranked goalie.
Yes, right.
So there's 34 better fantasy goalies than him right now.
So to answer your question, he was a 5th-ranked goalie coming out of the draft.
Do you have 1 to 4?
Yeah, 1 to 4. Demko was 1 preseason. Hellebuck was 2. Sorokin was 3. Ottinger was 4. Shesterkin was 5. Gorgiev was
sixth. Demko was not.
Demko was 17th on the pre-rank. Hellebuck was 23. I'm looking at it right now.
I think you're looking at the wrong thing. Strzok
was 15.
No. I'm looking on Yahoo pre-rank season. So that's before the season. Look at it. You can look it up on the app right now. Go under goalies. Go under season total. Go to pre-rank. You'll see Demko was at 17. Hellebuck at 23. Sorokin 25. Ottinger 29. Shesterkin 35.
I gotta fact check this because
no, I'm looking at it right now.
I'm seeing Sorokin at 25, Jake Ottinger 29, Shesterkin 35, Vasilevsky 97, Gustafsson 111, Joey.
What about Hellebuck? You're not seeing him at 23?
Nope. Yeah, I'm seeing that too. Demko at 17.
Yeah, so I Demko was the highest ranked goalie preseason. Bullshit.
That's the guys at Yahoo trying to pretend that they knew this was coming. There's no way Demko and Hellebuck were like the guys are having. They're both having unbelievable seasons.
My filter was on the wrong. That's not true. My filter was on the wrong thing. Yeah, I'm seeing Demko 17, Hellebuck 23. Yeah,
that's crazy.
I wouldn't have thought Demko was the number one ranked goalie.
No, guys, that's not true. That's not true. Ullmark 67 after the Vezina. That's bullshit. That's wrong. That's a mistake.
Well, maybe they saw a Swayman takeover. That's
not true.
That's fake news.
Some of these preseason.
I mean, I'm reading what's presented in front of me. I'm not making it up.
Guys, it's fake. Okay. Vasilevsky, 97. Guys, that's the 12th best goalie. No.
He came in hurt.
He did come in hurt.
Oh, okay. Right. I guess that one. You could make an argument.
You wanna go down the list and go Joey Decord? He shouldn't be even on this ranking.
Yeah, exactly. Joey Decord, 114. Philip Gustafsson, 111. After the season he had last year, get out of here. This is bullshit. This is fake news.
Joey Decord shouldn't bullshit. Be your 15th best goalie on the pre-rank.
We uncovered some Yahoo.
I don't even think
bullshit.
He was a starter leading into the beginning of the year.
Who?
Joey Decord wasn't a starter going into the year.
No, he was third string.
So how would they have known that?
But according to Yahoo, pre-rank, preseason, he was the 15th ranked goalie ahead of Tristan Jarry, Stuart Skinner, Samsonov, Logan Thompson, Darcy Kemper. Like, I'm not a big Skinner guy, which he's kind of changing that now for me. And I can even say Skinner is a better option than Joey Decord.
Hey, yeah. You know what? We should get into Skinner. Because you've been clowning him all year. Now look at what he's done.
All of his career.
Yeah, all of his career for real.
Hey, this 30 game stretch has been amazing for the Oilers, and he's on that list too. He's been great. I think he has like a stretch of like 10 straight games or something like that with two or less. So.
But you got to be afraid to start Stuart Skinner because you can allow 6 goals.
Last year, yes, that's true. I haven't said it this year.
And early this year, too, when we were talking about
this year. Yeah.
All right. Let's do the next one. Biggest fantasy disappointment for Brian was Andre. He called him Andrew Kuzmenko in the list here.
Autocorrect.
Yeah, we'll leave that up to autocorrect.
Andre Kuzmenko. After the first breakout year last year, he's fallen off the map despite Vancouver being one of the best teams in the league. I can't disagree with that.
He scored 40 last year, but the signs were in his shooting percentage. What?
Yes, that's why I would argue with him if he was here. I wouldn't call it a disappointment. I think it was predictable, this drop-off. So, but good selection nonetheless, mm-hmm. Brian. Thank you for it. Lopo, your biggest fantasy disappointment.
Very happy he didn't come to Montreal. That's Pierre-Luc Dubois. Guy is absolute trash. He's done this before, though, so it may not be like the trend for him. His first year in Winnipeg, he put up very, very similar numbers, almost echoing it to a points per game. I would say Pierre-Luc Dubois is my biggest disappointment this year, and he had big expectations in LA.
Yeah, he stinks. He's sucks. On the top line with Kopitar and Kempe now, but he hasn't done anything.
He's less than half a point a game. He's not a good. He's not very good. Overrated.
And it won't last. My guy, I'll save Anth for last. My guy is Tage Thompson. He had this like breakout elite.
That's a good one.
Absolute stud year last year. Everyone was expecting this to just continue, and he's built on it. And he has 27 points in 36 games. Like, there's nothing special about it. So I view that as a huge disappointment, because I was one of the people that just absolutely loved Thompson and thought he would, you know, continue what he did last year. Twans.
Good one.
Yeah, I like the Thompson one. That's kind of, it's kind of mind-boggling, that one, because you still watch the guy play and he's awesome. But I went with Brent Burns. It probably hurts more because he was my first-round pick in the draft. And he's been okay. He's ranked 190th in the pool. It's just not enough. It's just not good enough. And I think everyone can agree it's just been underwhelming from Burnsy.
Yeah. Let's go to the next one here. Best fantasy breakout. Let's start with Brian. So Brian's best fantasy breakout was Connor Ingram. He said he has better numbers than any Russian goalie, which I'm not sure why he's only comparing him to Russian goalies, but that was his thing. Ingram's having a great year, yes. He said the breakout would have went to Nichushkin, but he's a drunk.
right up Rye's alley.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, Joe, your best fantasy breakout.
Okay. I'm just going to mention, I had Bouchard at the start of the year. I think he's taken it to an elite level. His breakout season was last year, as we've pointed out many times before. But that's why I stayed away from him a little bit. I'm going to Philadelphia. Owen Tippett.
I love Tippett.
Nice goal. I think this guy is
Tippett.
Yeah. Exactly, the tip of the iceberg, the tip of it.
That's not the tip he was talking about, buddy.
But it's just the tip of his career.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Like, you look at his points, it's not like anything crazy. He has 30 and 46. But if you look at his line in this season among the normal categories that we're using, like, he does everything. 167 shots, 68 hits. He has 23 blocks. He has 30 points. He plays on the PP. He plays, like, he does everything. I think this guy could turn out to be a gem going forward.
You know, he's the type of guy. You know, Torts is stroking his tippet. That's for sure. So he does everything, too. And
I like going.
Yeah, like he, like, and he was like, he's 79th ranked, so he's not like anything crazy, but he's still up there. And he was drafted around this 170 mark. So, I mean, he was only 63% drafted. So the guys, he wasn't well known at the start of the year. So,
speaking of Torts, because I haven't been on the last couple pods, all the shit that went down with Cutter Gauthier, it just, my respect for Torts, like, I already like the guy, but, like, it's through the roof. He's just sounds like the best dude. Like, such a tough coach, but such a good guy. The interview or the presser where he brought up Kevin Hayes, such a gem. But let's continue.
Yeah, very good. Okay, Eth, your best fantasy breakout, who is it?
I went with Bouchard. I went with Bouchard, and I just wrote Bouchard, okay. So I don't really have any stats here, but Joe kind of ran it down a little bit.
He is elite level. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's the third-ranked defenseman in fantasy.
Yeah, he's got that booming shot. He's lethal, and Edmonton needed that.
Joe, do you still think anybody can run that blue line? Anybody can run that blue line?
Yeah.
Anybody.
Anybody.
Joe, your takes on the Oilers have been just, they're the freezing cold takes, you know?
It's because
they're on the freezing cold takes.
His bias.
Okay. Anybody as per, like, that can actually play hockey. Like I'm not talking about, like, a fifth or sixth defenseman. Like, Simone Benoit cannot run that power play. Yeah. But I'm like,
but Joe Gennady can. Joe Gennady can.
No, I cannot.
Joe Gennady can.
Lopo. Your best fantasy breakout.
Honestly, surprised nobody said him. He's having a great year. He is definitely bucking his career trend, points per game. I'm picking Sam Reinhart. Guy has been absolutely phenomenal for Florida this year. And he has a shot. Hang on, guys. I know we're going to talk about it.
He's in Florida.
But he's second in the league for goals right now, so only behind Matthews.
It's unbelievable how many goals that guy has.
33 goals.
I know. Crazy.
Insane. 45 games. Guy's on fire.
Yeah, he's ranked third among all players.
I think he is definitely a breakout this year.
Contract years, they do a special thing to these guys. In Florida, like, he's gonna get paid. He's gonna get, like, who knows how much. $8 million, which is equivalent to $17 million in any other market.
Yeah, which is only a million.
Or Toronto, I should say.
Yeah, but he's paid
a million.
But he's paying $2.5 million on his property tax in Florida.
No, he's not.
Okay. Let's keep rolling, guys. We were taking a long time here. My best fantasy breakout. Surprised nobody said it, man. Full breakout this year. Noah Dobson, 47 points in 46 games. Who would have thought a defenseman of the Islanders would be over a point per game halfway?
He'll come up later in this for me.
Okay.
Next.
All right. Most overrated fantasy player. I'll start here. I don't like this guy. Hampus Lindholm. I think he was like, after the draft, he was like 80-something percent. Like, for what? He has 16 points in 45 games. He's still 54% owned. He doesn't do anything meaningful in terms of peripherals. Get rid of this guy. He had one good run when McAvoy was injured last year, and that was it. Like, end it all. Go ahead, Joe.
My guy is Johnny Gaudreau in Columbus. Very similar to you, Mike, where he kind of is like one-dimensional. He doesn't do anything. He's now, to be fair, he's only 48% rostered right now on Yahoo. So some guys are starting to catch wind, I guess you could say. But he was drafted 100% at the beginning of the year. He was drafted around the 90 mark. He's ranked 220. He's 253 in Banger League. So like, there's nothing there. There's an issue there.
Yep. Brian has Ryan Hartman. He said, owners still chasing his 65-point career year 2 seasons ago are losers.
I agree with Brian.
Lopo, go ahead.
Oh, my God. For me, Ant already actually touched on him a little bit. We're going to Brent Burns. The guy's 95% owned. He is putting up the pace of production of guys that are closer to 30% owned. He hasn't had a point per game in five years. I think guys are holding on for that offensive juggernaut, double digit. Well, he might get double digit goals. That's not going to be an issue. But in terms of the actual output and points, he's overrated.
So I read this as most overrated fantasy team, and I put the musty mitt darters, but I have. Erik Karlsson is the guy that I went with after that. Similar to Burns, 95% owned. Like, Carlson's an incredible player, but just people are still chasing, while we're on that theme, his 100 points from last year, and he's just not going to do that this year. You know, he's ranked 140th. I don't know if I already said that, but overall in the league. So he's just not that guy.
All right, on to the most underrated. I love this category. So I'll start with Brian. He said Trocheck. Didn't give me much else, so I'm not going to do his homework for him. So
can I tell you, Trocheck. I think that's a bad pick.
Not even here to defend
him. Well, I looked at him too. He's owned as he should be.
Yeah, he also said Vetrano or Coleman if someone has Trocheck, but they're both also owned a lot, so... You can take it up with him when he's on the show. My most underrated is Oliver Bjorkstrand, my boy. He's got 37 points in 46 games. He's only 45% owned. There are players more owned than that do a lot less. So my guy's Bjorkstrand. Lopo, I know you'll agree with that, so you go ahead.
I like Bjorkstrand. He's not on my list. I actually did... It's not a cop-out. It's just because this would be very different when I was doing my research on this. If there was a Bangers League and a non-Bangers League, in non-Bangers League where you're just talking points, goals, assists, like basic leagues, I'm talking about Casey Mittelstadt. Guy's on 39 points. He's ahead of Nuge. He's producing very well. If we're talking about and his ownership right now is only 32% on Casey Mittelstadt. He has as many points as Kempe, Pavelski, and those guys are closer to 94% and 95% ownership on the Bangers League. Yeah, he's producing though. And like, where do you think all that production's going? Tate Thompson is not producing because other guys are taking like eating on his behalf right now. And one of those guys, Casey Mittelstadt.
I don't mind it, but he doesn't do a lot else.
That's why I said for non-bangers league. That's just a points league. For the bangers league, we talked about this. Blake Coleman is the most underrated player. He's ranked 16, 80% owned. He should be 100% owned by his numbers. Okay, but hang on. You said it yourself. If Spencer is relying on him every week, despite his reputation, the guy is performing. Hits, point. He has the most points on Calgary right now.
Yeah, I mean, 100 is a lot, but
okay. I'm just saying he's at 80. He should be closer to 100 from his 80 when you see who he's surrounded by. If you go down the list and where his rank is, above and below are both 100% owned. I'm not saying 100, but he should be closer to 100 based on the 81% ownership he has.
Okay, Joe, go ahead.
I looked at this from a little differently than you guys. You guys are looking more at rostered right now. I'm looking more as what he was coming into the year. And Mike, I said Dobson would come up for me. This for me was, he was underappreciated coming into the year.
Coming in, okay.
Because his average draft position was 111. He is now currently second ranked defenseman behind only one guy. That's Makar. Wow. So, yes, he's 100% or 97% owned, whatever he is. Yes, he was 100% drafted, but he was underappreciated coming into the year. We're obviously we all could see where these guys are now. So it doesn't really, like, the guys that are underappreciated are already taken. So it's more coming into the year for me the way I spun it.
Okay, F.
Well, which one are we on here?
Underrated.
Oh, yeah. So I saw the name. I'm like, shit, we already did this. I have Blake Coleman, who we've already talked about.
Okay.
He's 81% owned, but to be the 15th ranked player in, like, in our pool, which includes hits and stuff, he should be 100. So, underrated.
Okay.
Thanks, Ant.
Were you paying attention when Lopo said the exact same thing?
No, I wasn't. I like
he tunes Lopo out. Don't we know that?
I zoned out for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't listen when Lopo talks anyway.
Okay. Love this category. This one will help out fans potentially. Second half comeback candidate. We'll start with Brian here. His was Erik Karlsson. I guess he thinks Pitt's going to make the playoffs. Or maybe not. But Erik Karlsson's his guy. Joe, who you got?
I'm actually going to your team, Ant, your new team. I'm going Brendan Montour.
I think there's a lot there.
Man. Like, he started off the year.
Geographical team.
Yeah, your geographical team. He started out the year hurt. He still runs the first PP unit. He hasn't had a great year compared to last year. So, there you go. Second half comeback.
And the Panthers are a sick team.
Yeah, and they're a good team. So,
Lopo.
I'm going Nick Robertson's brother. I think he's.
But he's having a good year.
Who? Jason Robertson? I said his brother. No, he's not on pace to where he's usually at. He's in. Last year, he got 109 and 82. Right now, he's just over a point per game. I think he's going to explode. He's closer to. He's had 15 goals this year. Last year, he got 46. I think he started off slow. He's been turning it on the last month. He's definitely performed. I think he keeps it going, and I think he's finished his season strong, touching close to 90 to 100 points by the end of the year.
Okay, fine. Eth?
I cheated a little bit here because I went with Matthew Tkachuk, and we've been seeing it. He had an 18-point and 9-game stretch very recently, but I think he just continues on that trend.
You just want to argue with Joe.
And, nope. Hey. Maurice said the points were coming, so.
See? Mike said the points were coming.
Well, Maurice said it. Yeah, I trust what Maurice says rather than Mike.
Yeah.
Matty Tkachuk, because I need it.
Okay. Mine's Ovi, man. 8 goals in 41 games. Ovi is going to I still believe he's going to go on a bit of a tear.
Man, where, he said he was going to get to 30. That's like...
You guys laughed at me when I said 20 to 25.
Obi is going to go on a tear. Okay, NHL awards. This should be a lot quicker. Yeah. No more. None of this justification. We'll start with the Calder. And this is Brian has Bedard.
Bedard still, eh?
Brian has Bedard.
Okay.
I want to say Brock Faber so badly, but I have Bedard. Joe?
Well, I'm going to say what you didn't say because you have no fucking balls. I'm saying Brock Faber. Because if we all remember, Connor McDavid didn't win it in his rookie year because he missed a chunk of time because of his broken collarbone.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm saying Faber for that reason.
Okay. Eth?
Yeah, Connor Bedard's broken more jaws than he has points the last couple weeks. So, bust. I'm going to say Brock Faber, too, actually. Because Faber's actually a sick player. Like, actually, you actually watch this guy. So he does everything. He's all over the ice. Minnesota's got a gem in this guy. And I'm just kidding for the people out there. Bedard's not a bust. Relax.
Check out his average time on ice. Like,
that's 30 minutes, is it?
He plays a ton.
He's at 24:41. That's 10th. Sorry, that's 11th in the NHL.
Yeah, no, but he's had games over 30. Like
over 30. Yeah. For sure.
I've been pumping this guy's tires all season. I love him. Lopo.
Guys, there's only one answer for this question. Vegas agrees with me. He's minus 400 right now. Connor Bedard is going to be the winner of the Calder this year.
Oh, Vegas agrees. I was going to say Vegas Golden Knights. What?
All right, Norris. To me, this is simple. Brian has the same guy. I have Quinn Hughes.
Simple?
It's
McCarr. Kale McCarr.
It's McCarr.
No way.
Yeah. Then the tiebreaker here is going to Kale McCarr.
Get out of town.
Kale McCarr is the best defenseman in the NHL and deserves to win the Norris this year as well.
Okay. The Hart. McKinnon.
There's one answer.
No. I'm going different. Although
You can go.
I do think McKinnon's going to win it because it feels like, oh, McKinnon hasn't won one. Let's just give him that one this year because of what he's doing.
Hold on a second. You're going to do the same shit you always do. That's your answer then. You're not talking anymore.
No. I'm going Demko. I'm going Demko.
I feel like you don't even believe that, Joe.
It's going to be the first. Goalies very rarely win the Hart, but it does happen. And the last time it happened was 2015 when Carey Price won it. And what was that year? Basically, they're there for that reason.
Yeah, Demko, but no, there's like
a huge reason why the Canucks are where they are.
Huge. So is Quinn, so is Petey, so is Miller. Montreal had nobody. That's the difference here. Like,
okay, go look at that 2015 team, Habs team.
It's garbage.
Is it? Okay. Demko garbage. Is the guy. Trust me, no matter what the lotto line does and what Hughes does, they wouldn't win games without Demko being Demko.
Okay. It's good. It's a good take.
It's the most valuable to his team, and that's the reason why the Canucks are where they are.
Okay. Ant's got somebody else. Who is it?
Or else it'd be the Leafs.
I mean, it's like Joe said, it's going to be McKinnon because the NHL does do this thing where it's McKinnon hasn't won one and he's been unreal. It's time for him to get one.
McKinnon's
going to win it. But I just want to give a nod to Cooch. Our boy Coochie Time. I know he loves hearing this. That's our cousin.
The one that railed in that trade.
Not even gonna make the playoffs. Yeah, no. Here's the thing, though. Cooch has been so good, and the Lightning haven't. Like everyone else, Vasilevsky hasn't been good, and then the other guys have just been okay. Cooch is the reason that like they're sitting in third place in the Atlantic right now.
Yeah.
So like he started keeping them in the hunt.
All right, Vezina, Joe, Demko.
Yep, Demko, because I have him winning the Hart. If Mac wins it, it's Hellebuck.
Okay. I forgot to say, Brian had McKinnon for his Hart. So Joe Demko for Vezina. I got Demko for Vezina. Brian's got Hellebuck for Vezina. Lopo, who do you got?
Thatcher Demko.
Demko, Eth.
Hellebuck.
Hellebuck.
It's between those Hellebuck. Two guys.
As much as it pains me to say, because I traded him at the beginning of the season like an idiot.
Oh, that trade doesn't look so good for you.
Okay, don't talk, Joe.
I know. Trust me, I know.
Jack Adams. Brian and I both have Tocket. Anyone else agree?
Yeah. I got Tocket too, but I'll stick with Tocket.
Tocket deserves
it. Well, I'm sticking with Tocket from the beginning of the year, baby. He was my preseason pick.
Yeah,
he was. Oh, I haven't gone through with these. Yeah.
Well, I had Makar winning the Norris at the preseason as well. Tocket was my Jack Adams winner, and I'm sticking with him.
I'm surprised you didn't change it to Keefe.
Why would I do that?
Second half comeback candidate, Keith.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Okay, Rocket. Keith,
a couple of us on the podcast, though, now that we brought up Keith, we do think he's getting canned soon. I think he's getting canned.
Yeah. Second, maybe your Jack Adams should have been Quenville. Ooh. Rumor boys.
Very rarely do the second half or the coach that comes in halfway through the year wins it. We've seen it multiple times.
Didn't that happen? That happened a few years ago, no?
Berube did it.
Yeah.
But there was other examples. I wish I had jotted them down because someone went through them and I wish I jotted them down. They would finish like third and fifth and that sort of thing. So
unbelievable.
Okay, and Rocket, unanimous, Matthews?
Yeah, the conversation here should be, can Matthews hit 70?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm giving an honorable mention, though, in Joe's favorite term, to Sam Reinhardt.
Because he's not. Reinhardt's
he's
not.
He's 30. Reinhardt if will there's be lucky. Anybody, okay, to make
He'll
it
be
interesting.
Lucky to hit 55.
Well, that's not nothing.
Hey, well, one injury. He's not touching.
I don't want him to, but hey, one injury, for anybody, that derails a season, right? And I'm not banking on it. I'm just saying anything can happen.
Yeah, Jack Hughes.
Yes.
Fuck off.
Yes.
And actually,
you
to
got
be
a
fair,
cool eyeshadow, lipstick, blush.
I want to correct something, deal, which Berube is one of them that I was talking about. He did not win the Jack Adams that year.
Oh,
he didn't? I thought he did.
No.
Oh, I wasn't talking Adams. I was talking Jack Adams. I was saying he came in and won the cup.
Yes, but he did not win the Jack Adams that year.
Okay, yeah.
Do you think that the cup and like the performance in the cup run should like, because they do the awards before the Stanley Cup playoffs, like that should like be taken into account for who's winning the Jack Adams?
It's not supposed to, but it does influence.
It should. Your team won the Stanley Cup. You're the best coach. You led those your guys.
Before.
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of stupid. Like, wait.
All the votes are in. No, it's the only award
a
that doesn't.
Season awards, though.
It's a regular season.
I know, but the coach is like. I get it, but like I feel like the coach is like, it's the whole picture, you know, like that should be like one award that there's a playoff MVP, there's a regular season MVP, but there's no coach that's an MVP, and like there should be one award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it being regular season. The only award that does take the playoffs into account, which is stupid, is the GM of the year award.
But by logic, coach too. Yeah.
Nah. I don't believe that, because you can have a coach of the year that brings you from nowhere. Like Tortorella wouldn't win it because just because he doesn't win the cup. There's only so just hand the coach of the year to the cup winner every year. It's stupid if that's the case.
No, okay, but like for example, I'm not that I'm
no, because they're the best. You said it. The best coach wins.
Okay,
wins the cup. No, that's not true.
Okay, but there's also scenarios like the Habs. Okay, I'm not saying that they had a good coach at the time, but they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. That could have been an award right there with a bad team making it to the Stanley Cup Final. How did you get there?
You're made the right. playoffs when you shouldn't have. Yeah. That's my point. A good regular season.
Yeah.
That's the reason why. Because it would be too predictable if.
I don't. Look at this guy. Why are we doing this now? I got to go. Let's quickly fly through some key injuries and then very quickly week ahead.
Nah, just go to the end of it.
No. Jared Spurgeon, done for the year. Another nod to Brock Faber. It's going to have a great second half and continue. Jack Eichel at this point is out 3 to 5 weeks. Tyler Stevenson, I guess, gets the bump there. Shea Theodore is still 2 to 3 weeks away. He's been out for a while. Patty Kane is, there's not a lot of information. Doesn't seem great. Could get some bad news this coming week, so stay tuned for
good
that.
Good news, it wasn't his hip.
Not his hip, though. Not his hip. That's just good. Mark Scheifele, seems like a day-to-day thing, but he was supposed to play Saturday. He did it. A little bit of a concern there, but should be okay. Barkov, doesn't seem like long-term. Nichushkin, we talked about. Tippett, got hurt last game. Doesn't look too serious, so good news on Tippett. Killorn, I believe I saw 4 to 6 weeks. And Marc-Andre Fleury, not a lot of news on it, but he left the game, and they had to call up Wallstat in his place.
He got railed.
Yeah. Week ahead, 51 games on the calendar, 2 game weeks from Colorado, Toronto, 4 game weeks from 8 teams. I'm going to spare you all the time here. The best schedule belongs to the LA Kings. 4 games, no back-to-backs. And for the first time, I'm pretty sure, my pickup of the week is a goaltender, David Riddick.
He's starting on Monday.
7% owned. Yes, 7% owned. He's played three of the last four, I believe. Coach already said he's going to get more playing time. He's been really, really good. He's my pickup of the week. And that's the week ahead. That's the show. Any closing remarks?
No.
Because we got to go. This has been one of the longest shows in history.
Considering.
Can we do something fun real quick? It's mid-season awards show. Let's do mid-season cup prediction. Just one team. You can even do the finals if you want.
Quick. I didn't even think of this.
Okay. So, I'm going to talk and you guys think about it. We did preseason. I'm going to out myself. I had Pittsburgh-Edmonton as the final, with the Pittsburgh Penguins winning the cup and Jari being the Conn Smythe winner. That was my preseason. Anth, you had Carolina-Edmonton, Carolina winning the cup. Brent Burns is your Conn Smythe. Joe, you had Toronto-Edmonton, the Leafs winning the cup. Okay. Austin Matthews as the Conn Smythe. And Brian had Rangers-Colorado winning the cup. Cale Makar as the Conn Smythe. Lopo didn't have a pick because he wasn't on the show at the time. You guys could stick with some of your picks there.
But, I hate everyone in the East.
No one's saying anything.
Can I just pick the Western team? Cool.
Yeah, the West is a bloodbath.
But I think it's going to be the Canucks.
I don't like that. I'll start because you guys all can reflect on what you guys did, and I haven't given any picks. I like Dallas coming out of the West, and I like Florida coming out of the East.
Wow.
Yeah, good teams, good strong defenses.
Florida is just, they're the same team. They have all these guys that are feisty. They're such a playoff team. It's crazy.
Who's winning the cup, man?
I think it's Florida this year.
Okay. Brian will get his picks after. Canucks. Joe.
Do I have to pick one from the pick one from the West or from the East, sorry?
The East. Yes. Yes, you do.
God, I don't like any of them. I don't think Florida's getting there. I don't think Boston's getting there. The Rangers are kind of okay. Let's go New York. The Rangers.
Okay.
I'm gonna say Boston, Colorado, with Colorado winning, and which it's great because I also have my Edmonton Carolina preseason pick, which if that hits, I'll look like a genius also. So
yeah,
that's how you do it, a la Joe.
Exactly. I got my.
So what was you it? You got Boston, it, man.
Colorado with Colorado winning.
Okay, I'll go. I'll go Rangers, Dallas. Rangers win the cup.
Lovely. Let's wrap.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Thanks, Ant, for making this 5 minutes longer.
That's it. Yeah. All right, yes, thank you all for listening. I know a little bit longer than usual, but glad you stuck around. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck in your pools.
Take care, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Buonanotte.